You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the time we have in this segment, let's talk about what we saw yesterday in the AFC, and then we'll break down the Chiefs-Bills game, the old hashtag IDBB, the in-depth betting breakdown. But first, how did the Titans lose yesterday? Titans minus 2.5. Thought it was a great bet. And then I lost. Then I lost a lot of, still a great bet, still lost a lot of money. And can I start by saying, can we just, like, please, before we even start collectively, as a people, hashtag as a people, as a society, can we stop with, like, the can't bet against Joe Burrow? Can we not do that? Like, he's great. I'm not a hater. I love watching him. He's awesome. I would love to have him as the quarterback of my favorite team, the New York Football Giants. Next sentence. Like, the Bengals winning yesterday had everything to do with the Titans and actually, like, not that much to do with Joe Burrow. Ken, your thoughts on what we saw transpire yesterday in the Music City?
Had a lot to do with McPherson as well. So maybe had more to do with him than Burrow, as it turned out. Like, that video circulating of him, like, crazy kicking exploits in college and everything, promising they're going to the AFC Championship game before he comes on the field. Wild stuff from a kicker. Really unbelievable.
He's like baby Tucker. Justin Tucker at this point.
Actually, let's do the Burrow thing again real quick. I think I've told the story once before on the show. There's one of my favorite sports documentaries ever is an HBO sports documentary called A Courtship of Rivals. It's about the relationship between Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And through the decades, through their playing careers together, like in sort of, you know, U.S. Olympic teams and everything, and the Dream Team, and then obviously the Lakers-Celtics rivalry. Anyway, there's an interview with Magic's good friend Arsenio Hall. People obviously remember he used to host a talk show and everything, like sort of a celebrity who is Magic's friend. And Arsenio Hall is telling the story about how much he hates Larry Bird. And basically his anecdote is that Larry Bird would always get credit for everything. Anything that would happen, Larry Bird would get credit for it. And Larry Bird would be sitting on the bench and some, like, white ninth man on the Celtics would make a layup and the announcers would go, "Oh, you know who made that possible? Larry Bird, when he told that guy he could make that layup, and he did." And Arsenio starts getting really mad and he goes, "They're giving this guy the assist and he's not even in the game."
like
unbelievable.
Like Dino Roger or something.
Right. Yeah, that was like sort of just how Larry Bird was treated. Basically, it didn't matter what it was. It always went back. I was like, Larry Bird made that possible. I feel like that's happening with Joe Burrow in both of these playoff games.
And he's great. Like, it's not like an insult to Burrow. Like, we think he's
awesome.
So
was Larry Bird.
Yes.
Larry Bird is an all-time player, of course.
And the tweet that I got yesterday, like, "Well, you bet against Joe Burrow. Like, the better, like, you have to take the better quarterback." It's like, guys, like, come on. Like, have you not, like, learned anything listening or watching our show all season? Like, yes, he's better than Tannehill. Also, I feel like Titans minus 2.5 was a great bet. I would make it again.
Right. Every time I heard like a mention yesterday or during the game about Burrow, that anecdote just popped into my brain immediately, because it's just like, yeah, like, Burrow's really good, and there were like a number of plays yesterday that Burrow had nothing to do with, which actually ended up swinging the win probability of the game. All of them negative for the Titans. It's worth noting, and also even as talented as Burrow is, he also took a ton of negative plays. He got sacked 9 times yesterday. And you can be like, they got to get him an offensive line. This is ridiculous. This guy's so good. He also took 9 sacks. So, you know,
well, like,
took 9 sacks.
But both things are true. Like, they do need to get a better offensive line.
Right.
But all.
Like, did he meet, as Nick gets knocked off here a little bit? Has he ever met a throw he couldn't throw away, basically? I mean, like, obviously, sack's the most negative play you can possibly have. Anyway, it's worth noting, as we kind of like reset here a little bit, basically, so the Burrow, it's like sort of hate or whatever, like, that Nick and I are sort of giving you. maybe like, oh, it's unjustified. He's awesome. Whatever. The Titans did a number of things in yesterday's game, which killed their win probability, which were sort of unexpected. And the crux of it basically is in high leverage situations, in really high leverage downs, which is like third down, fourth down, red zone opportunities. The Bengals, in probably their most key drive of the game, there's a third down that sets up their touchdown, basically, which sort of like cemented a really large win probability for them at the time. And Burrow makes an incredible play, gets out of pressure and ends up scrambling for a first down. And it sets up a first down for the Bengals. I believe they score on the next play. So really, really, really high leverage down where the Bengals could have easily settled for a field goal, something they did a number of times against the Raiders, by the way. I think they went like, 2 for 6 in the red zone in that game or something. 1 for 6 in the red zone in that game. They don't. Burrow ends up creating an unbelievable play, which he deserves all the credit for, and they score on the next play and score a touchdown. You juxtapose that, and the Bengals were very good on third down, about 50%, I think, in yesterday's game. You juxtapose that with the high leverage downs for Tennessee, and it paints a completely different picture. And it's part of it is Tannehill having a miserable game, him being put in situations on third down where he's not making great throws. And then obviously the third and short kind of fourth and short situation with Tannehill on an RPO in a shotgun. And then Derrick Henry, you know, 5 yards in the backfield, taking a handoff on fourth down. He gets stopped in probably the most impactful sequence of the entire game. So it's actually probably a game that was like, you know, close statistically, which Tennessee statistically was like a little bit better in, but in the high leverage downs. And that's where kind of like the legend of Joe Burrow maybe is actually a real thing. Took a ton of sacks, kicker excellent. Tennessee just actively trying to lose the game. But in high leverage situations, that's where you do give Burrow a lot of credit. He's the guy who had to make a play on a lot of those third downs, and he did. So Nick's back with us now. I was just kind of unpacking statistically and just how the game plays out. High leverage downs, third down, fourth down. You know, even the Titans can look better for the majority of the game. They can move the ball better. It's worth noting in both Bengals playoff games so far, they have been outgained in a yards per play basis by both of their opponents and still won both games, which is
because Burrow's awesome,
to be honest. But in the high leverage situations, he was good. And in the high leverage situations, Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans were as poor as you can possibly be. Like, obviously, that's going to end up determining the outcome of the game.
I like that Mike Vrabel in 2019, following that season, goes to New England, beats Brady in Brady's last game as a Patriot, then goes to Baltimore in Lamar's MVP season. They beat the Ravens, and he has followed up those incredible postseason performances with back-to-back derp fests. Last year, punting while down in the fourth quarter against Baltimore, and then whatever the hell it was that we watched yesterday with Todd Downing, some of the worst play calling you've ever seen. Derrick Henry again with the George Foreman grill implanted in his foot when you got Deontay Foreman, who looks awesome, and Ryan Daniel throwing interceptions in critical spots. Just a brutal game also, I bet the Titans. Screw them. Remember the Titans? I say screw the Titans. You better, you bet. BetQL Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you. Divisional Sunday in the National Football League. So the Bengals win, and now we'll travel to the winner of tonight's game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills to play for conference supremacy. Ken, the number at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. The Chiefs are now just a 1-point favorite, total sitting at 54. Lay it out for us, your thoughts here on the Chiefs and the Bills later today.
It's worth noting, as much as we just kind of hated on Joe Burrow and probably made a lot of people mad, the AFC Championship game is more fun because he beat Tennessee yesterday.
Definitely.
There's no question.
Oh, but like, we prefaced all of that by saying, like, we think Burrow's awesome. Like, he's great.
Right.
Like, also, like, he shouldn't get the credit for what happened yesterday. That's it.
Right, right. A lot of other people should get credit or blame for what happened yesterday, and he should get credit for a very small number of the things that happened yesterday. It's just, like, assign it correctly, basically, I guess would be our point. In this game specifically, look, I mean, the betting market's been almost the same the entire week. Chiefs less than 3. Total's been almost the exact same the entire week, about 54. My opinion is always, said the entire week, I think we have a really good understanding of what the difference between these teams is, and that it's not very much. Played in the AFC Championship game last year, played in the regular season last year. That was the game in which the Chiefs were favored by the most, it's worth noting. Chiefs win that game, like a Tuesday night or Monday afternoon game during the weird COVID NFL
season. Oh, and we bet the Bills in that game, and it was like,
we did.
Like
Mahomes
torture.
Converted about 9 yeah. straight third downs, almost all of them by running, which was really devastating. They play in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs are favored by 3. There was some skepticism about Patrick Mahomes' condition, which led to that point spread being only 3 in that
game.
Remember,
he got hurt in the win the previous week against the Cleveland Browns. Henny comes in and salts it away for Kansas City.
Kansas City wins that game. Buffalo retools, reloads again in the offseason. They think this is their best version of their team. They play Kansas City in a Sunday night football game earlier this year and dominate them at their place in a game in which Kansas City closes a 2.5-point favorite. We have a lot of previous meetings, we have a lot of data. The coaches and quarterbacks have not changed. I think the understanding that these are two very closely rated teams and the team playing at home deserves a little bit of an advantage is completely justifiable and correct. You know, I think it would be tough to make an argument like this number is wrong or it needs to be three or Buffalo has to be favored or something like that. I think the number is totally correct. Honestly, I think that's one of the things that's flummoxed us so far this week to make a valuable bet. My only very quick note here, just something that a guest brought up earlier this week. Just the Bills without Tre'Davious White and the Bills against elite quarterbacks. We don't have a lot of data points. The Bills playing very good quarterbacks.
I have the list. Would you like it here?
Yeah. Well, in the last 10 weeks, it's just Brady.
So since Tre'Davious White got hurt Thanksgiving in the win over the New Orleans Saints, they played the Patriots and their impotent passing attack three times. Cam Newton in the Carolina Panthers, Matt Ryan in the Atlanta Falcons, and Zach Wilson in the New York Jets. And the one good passing game and good quarterback they played, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers laid a big number on him, and Brady obviously had a big overtime performance, including the game when he touched down to Breshad Perriman.
So I think I'm not saying like jam the Chiefs, but I think it's justifiable to be skeptical about how the Buffalo pass defense is going to play against Mahomes in this game, when in their one game without Tre'Davious White against an elite quarterback in 3 months, they got torn to shreds. So like, and now they're on the road with that same secondary in this spot against Mahomes, just like, I know everyone's picking Buffalo. They're going to get over the hump. It's going to happen. Like, this is it. Just like, I would temper that enthusiasm a little bit with that kind of narrative that we just went
over. Well, like it might be the point I think that we're both making. It's like a coin flip betting the side of this game.
Correct.
We'll give you full betting thoughts, props, and a play on the total as we move along.